He certainly attends the reading of His Word and the preaching of it. Please turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. The text today is two verses, verses 26 and 27. Please stand with me for the reading of God's inerrant Word. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of His Word this morning. You may be seated. Let's seek His blessings. Father, we acknowledge that apart from You, we can do nothing. And so we seek the blessing of the Spirit of grace upon us this morning, that He might in fact teach us about His marvelous ministry of intercession. We thank You for His abiding with us. We thank You that He is faithful when we are not. We thank You that You truly hear His prayers through us. As difficult as this may be to understand, Lord, we praise You for it and ask that You would bless us through strengthening our faith and encouraging us to greater faithfulness in prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The sound was deafening, although no one was near enough to hear it. It ultimately echoed around the world. None of the passengers in the DC-4 ever knew what happened. They died instantly. That was February 15th, 1947. The Avianca airline flight bound for Quito, Ecuador, crashed clumsily into the 14,000-foot-high towering peak of El Tablazo, not far from Bogota. And then it dropped, a flaming mass of metal, into a ravine far below. A young New Yorker, Glenn Chambers, was one of its victims. He planned to begin a ministry with the Voice of the Andes, a lifelong dream that suddenly aborted into a nightmare. But get this. Before leaving the Miami airport earlier that day, Chambers hurriedly dashed off a note to his mom on a piece of paper he found on the floor of the terminal. That scrap of paper was once a printed piece of advertisement with the single word "Y" sprawled across the center of it. But between the mailing and the delivery of that note, Chambers was killed. When the letter did arrive, there staring up at his mom was the haunting question, why? You know, there are times in our lives when we are beyond words, beyond answers, when spiritual sounding cliches just don't cut it. When we are simply out of pat answers or even biblical ones at the moment. But God does not leave us alone in our anguish or turn His back upon us in our wordless pain. He's with us. And we see that in a marvelous way. Two verses, the sweet verses of penned by the Spirit of God Himself speaking to us. Here's the theme of the text. In the most intimate manner, the Holy Spirit intercedes. He prays for us according to the will of God. Now, Paul has just taught us that a major part of sanctification is suffering. But he gives us hope by the Spirit because it's suffering unto glory. It's not suffering without hope. And now in the passage before us, he underscores another area of sanctification, a most important area for your life and for mine, which is prayer. And you know, as I've thought about it this week and the Lord's Prayer and the larger catechism question and answer, how much it was brought home again, how needy we are in this, how much help we need in this particular area of our Christian life. And you know what? He promises that the Holy Spirit is the one that gives that help. Point number one, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. We do not know how to pray as we should. Can you imagine the look on the Father's face as He hears some of our prayers? The same rote, unthinking, cold utterings from a heart, from a mind that's not even there. I mean, what does the Father think? From a humorous standpoint, there's a man seated in the church here, and he's praying, and he says, "Dear Lord, let me be the big cheese and the number one job of the top outfit in the country. And let me come up with the right answers at the right times in the right places. But with it all, let me remain soft-spoken, country-shy, plain old Jeff Krotz from Spickard, Missouri." That's how we are in our prayers. "Lord, I'm coming to you now, and I don't know about praying according to your will, but I sure hope you'll make me look good in this situation. You'll bless me here and you'll bless me there. And oh, by the way, yes, bless the missionaries over there as well." We don't know how to pray, you see. It's called infirmity. It's called weakness, you see. That's what he talks about in our text. In all areas of our lives, we struggle with remaining sin and suffering and ignorance, you see. And the text says that the Spirit comes along and He helps us in a most marvelous way. I'm sure there are times He prompts us by the Word of God and shows us how to pray, but there are times we are so foolish, so selfish, so whatever, wordless, in bringing forth a decent prayer unto the Lord that even through His groaning, our groaning in and through us, it's a difficult text to know exactly what that means. He helps us. Like a mother with a baby, see, taking care of, holding that child, doing all these things for this helpless baby. And we are, when it comes to the grace of prayer, which person in this room would stand up and say, "Yes, I'm a giant in that area. I have arrived." I think when we bring up this subject, we often hang our heads and say, "How many times have I said I'm going to do better?" I remember many years ago, my mother's mother was a little lady, and she had had various strokes and physical maladies, and my folks lived in Northern California, and their driveway was very steep, and I took her for a ride in my car, and she thought it was so great to get out, but there was a steep driveway, for her to make it up that driveway was almost an impossibility. So I picked her up and I carried her up the driveway. For her, all that was just, she laughed. She thought that was the funniest thing, that I would pick her up and carry her up the hill. You see, the Spirit does that for us in this text. He doesn't just simply nudge us and say, "You know what? You need to pray a little bit." He does much more than that because we are helpless. There are times we don't have a clue. "Oh, I know how to pray. You just adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, and we put these little things together and we think we have our act together." But the Bible here teaches that we really don't know in many situations and instances in our lives. We are without those words that are in accordance with the will of our Father. Moses cried out to God more than once. He cried out to God, "Lord, please let me enter the land of Canaan. I spent 40 years in the wilderness with this people. In fact, I spent 40 years before that with sheep. And here I am at the end of 80 years, still a man of vigor. Please let me set my feet on that land." And he went back to him more than once in that. And the Lord finally said, "I don't want to hear about it anymore." No. You may not. The Apostle Paul beseeched the Lord many times, three times, Lord, take this malady, take this thorn, whatever it was, take it away, Lord. I can't handle it. And the Lord said, no, I won't take it away, but my grace is sufficient for you. And so how do we know what the will of God is in every situation? We think we ought to know it, but let's be honest, we don't. I remember years ago, a friend of mine, Dave Chilton, had gone through a series of heart attacks. In fact, they had to restart his heart, and they had given up on him to even live and to come out of this coma. And there were people there who prayed and persevered for a while, but they didn't remain. But his wife, obviously, his wife would remain, and she did. And Darlene said, no, we're not giving up. He's going to come back. He's going to be okay. That's the Spirit of God. Others may give up. We may give up. We may be wordless. But He remains abiding with us because we don't know really how to pray. He intercedes for us. That's the next point we look at in the text. It's interesting, the subject of intercessory prayer, praying on behalf of others. He doesn't speak on His own behalf. He has no needs. But He certainly prays for us. But first of all, it's interesting you think about this subject in the Word. There are two intercessors we read about. The first one, and normally when we think about intercessory prayer, who do you think about? What person comes to mind? At least to my mind, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our high priest. He's at the right hand of the Father. He ever lives to make intercession for us, the Word of God says. Notice verse 34 of our text here in Romans 8. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Praise God. He's at the right hand of power and authority, and He's the one who died and who was raised, and He is the one who speaks on your behalf and my behalf, and that's the only reason that we can go to God. That's the only reason. It's because He is there. Lord, I died for them. I shed my blood for them. And He prays for us. Turn to Hebrews. The 7th chapter, we see it mentioned there in Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Speaking of the priesthood of the Lord, hence also He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. His life is an indestructible life, an eternal life. The priests of old died and were buried, but this high priest, our high priest, lives forever. And He's always on our side. He's always interceding on our behalf. And then another intercessor comes into view here. It's the Holy Spirit of God. If you return to the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 16. He is described here as our helper, the Paraclete. John 14, 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. Blessed thought, the Lord Jesus at the right hand of God and the Spirit of Christ dwelling within us. And as we look at our Romans text, we see that He, let's go back to Romans 8. He helps our weakness, it says. We do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself, He prays, He intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The author of these groanings is the Holy Spirit, it appears. They are registered in the hearts of God's children. They are not expressed in spirit. speech that we can understand. Yet the Holy Spirit speaks through these groanings to our Father, which is in heaven. Amazing. We are ignorant. We are weak. We do not know how. And the Spirit of grace intercedes on our behalf. Listen to this prayer, a prayer of anguish, a prayer from the heart. It comes from the book of Psalms, the 77th Psalm. It's a psalm of Asaph, and he prays in the first part of that psalm, "My voice rises to God, and I will cry aloud. My voice rises to God, and He will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted. When I remember God, then I am disturbed. When I sigh, then my spirit grows faint." See, he got to the place, he was without words, but he still knew that anguish, that burden of heart, and he just would sigh, he would groan before the Lord. "Thou hast held my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak." You ever been there? He is there with you. "The years I have considered the days of old, the years of long ago. I will remember my song in the night. I will meditate with my heart, and my spirit ponders," and the Holy Spirit prays. He intercedes. Hannah was burdened, deeply burdened. "Oh, give me a child, Lord, and I will dedicate him to you." And she prayed to him. Eli thought she was drunk. It was in the morning hour. And she was praying to him, and she was essentially pouring out her heart before God. And Eli didn't understand all that was going on, praying in her heart and probably groaning before God. But the Spirit of God prays in and through the saints of God unto our Father. And many of you are young in this concept of being so grieved, so down, so broken. I mean, you're not there yet. That's good. The Lord's timing is perfect for each one of us. But there are many here who know the groaning over the child that was hit by the car and is in a coma. Only the groaning that a parent would understand. Over the unsaved spouse, over the waywardness, or over the wayward child, over the loss of a job. "Lord, what am I going to do now?" Over a life-dominating sin, over a divorce, groaning before God over a nation that has turned its back on God. John Knox cried out, "Give me Scotland or I die." I'm sure there were times where John Knox just groaned before the Lord. What can be said, O God, groaning over a wayward, worldly church? How far will the church go in our generation? When will it turn back to the Lord? The Father knows, point number two, the mind of the Spirit. There may be groaning, there may be tears, there may be a lack of wisdom on our part, but the Father hears prayer. Even prayer that we can't comprehend. He hears prayer, especially the prayer of His Spirit through us, as mysterious as that seems to us. Charles Spurgeon put it this way, "Nothing so eloquent with the Father as His child's cry. Yes, there is one thing more mighty still, and that is a moan. When the child is so sick that it is past crying and lies moaning with that kind of moan which indicates extreme suffering and intense weakness, who can resist that moan? And when God's Israel shall be brought very low so that they can scarcely cry, but only their moans are heard, then comes the Lord's time of deliverance, and He is sure to show that He loves His people." the Father hears our prayers or the Spirit's prayer. He knows the mind of the Spirit. He searches our hearts, you see, and He hears the cry. You know, our Father doesn't guess as we sometimes do. He knows exactly what the Spirit is saying through us. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11. The Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. Spirit of God knows the depths of the Father. The Father knows the depths of the Spirit, His thoughts, you see. I mean, it's amazing when you think about it. For the Lord Jesus Himself, with His nail-scarred hands, to be before the Father night and day on your behalf and mine, and for the Spirit within us to pray according to the will of God, is just incredible. That's how important prayer is. You see, the Son intercedes in the heavenly throne room. There's no better place, is there? I don't think so. The Holy Spirit intercedes through the groans of the human heart. The Father is concerned about the cries of His children. We pray to the Father, and the Father both hears these prayers, and He goes out of His way to search our hearts to know the mind of the Spirit on our behalf. And so what is this marvelous picture? But the triune God is active, it's interesting, on both sides of prayer. You see, He saves us to the uttermost, and prayer is so important to Him that He is on both sides of prayer, praying and hearing and responding, you see. What kind of prayer does God approve? Of what kind of prayer does He approve? And that's the final point. It's prayer according to God's will. Remember when the Son prayed and spoke and lived His life on this earth, it was according to the will of God. Not my will, but thine be done. As He fell on His face before His Father, even in the garden, right before the cross. Not my will, but thine be done. Was there a struggle? Was there a difficulty? Yes. In human form, Jesus wrestled with these things, and He committed it all to the Father. He struggled. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. But He said, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. He is committed to the will of the Father. And then the Spirit now. We see it in our text. He intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Does this really surprise you? Of course not. We know that there can't be a conflict between any of the members of the Trinity. That doesn't surprise us. It ought to do more than that. It ought to encourage us and teach us and help us to pray, you see, to know, to learn how to pray. And yet, we so often do not pray wisely before the Lord. It's like a daughter going to her dad and saying, Dad, may I stay over at Mary's house? And Dad says to her, no, not tonight. You need to finish your schoolwork. Oh. Then she goes into her mother. Mom, may I stay over at Mary's house? And the mother and the dad are one. If they're a good mom and dad, they work together as a team. And she gets a mild rebuke. Don't play me off against your father. And yet, you know, we do that in prayer. We try to wrestle things out of God. We try to say things and put them in a nice, sweet package as if it's for the will of God, the glory of God, when in reality, when we look back at much of our praying, our motives are impure and they are exceedingly selfish. Lord, I want this, and Lord, I don't want to look bad in this situation, and on it goes. We can't get around God. We can't twist his arm. Persevering prayer isn't wearing him down, so he finally says, okay, go to Mary's house. I don't care. Just give me some peace and quiet tonight. See, that's not persevering prayer, and that will never be the result. In 1 John chapter 5, John tells us in verses 14 and 15, and this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We can ask him anything, but don't take that out of context. We can ask him anything according to his will. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. And that's what the Spirit does. He knows the deep things of God. He knows the will of the Father. And he prays, he intercedes on our behalf. In Matthew 20, we read of the mother of the sons of Zebedee. In Matthew 20, verse 20 and following, the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him, came to the Lord Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit one on your right and one on your left. Now that's bold asking. If there ever was a bold mother, there she is looking out for her boys. But notice Jesus' response. You do not know what you are asking for. You have no idea what your sons are going to go through. You really don't understand what it is to follow me, and you want your sons to go through the suffering and the difficulties, yes, even death in my name. Are you sure you want me to answer your request? We really don't know, do we? And it's sinful for us to think that we can twist God's arm, that we can, contrary to his will, get him to do something for us in the name of prayer, even in the name of Jesus. Sometimes it's out of ignorance. I think her request was out of ignorance. I don't think she thought through it at all as she went before the Lord. The implications of what were taking place and what were going to happen on the cross, she didn't know about all that. Not at that point in time. I'm sure she learned a lot after the fact as she looked back on it. Sometimes it's sinful motives, but aren't you glad? I certainly am, that the Spirit prays according to the will of God, because the Father hears and answers that kind of prayer. And that's the sweetness of this short little text we're looking at today. And so be encouraged. A few thoughts of application. Be encouraged. When we are beyond words, God the Holy Spirit is not. The Trinity, the entire Trinity is involved in our sanctification and deeply committed to the deepening of our prayer life, to answering our prayers, even and maybe especially when we don't know how to pray. And so the Father searches our hearts and searches the words of the Spirit, and he answers according to his holy will. He's hearing. He's searching. The Lord Jesus is interceding. He's pleading his death on our behalf, you see. And the Spirit of God is interceding God's will within God's heart. You see, passionate, wise words to the Father, words we could never think up on our own. It's incredible. So be encouraged. But secondly, remember this. This passage does not eliminate our need to pray. Don't think that, well, Jesus is praying for me up here and the Spirit's praying for me through here unto the Father. I think the bases are covered and the Father answers that prayer. Why would I even open my mouth? And you know the answer to that, because he commands us to pray and he delights in our prayers. We are to come to him, to the throne of grace, continually before him. It is one of the greatest privileges of the Christian life, is prayer. Our Father, and this is hard to understand sometimes because I don't know, what do our prayers sound like to Him? Lisping of a babe in His ears, maybe. But He is pleased as we come to Him in the name of His Son with heartfelt prayer, Spirit-led prayer, prayer as we attempt to discern and pray according to the will of God, our Father is pleased with that prayer. God is committed to prayer, and He's committed to you and to me to teach us that, and His Word does that, and to enable us by His Spirit to grow up in this means of grace in the Christian life. May we be encouraged, but may we be admonished as well to shake off our lethargy, our laziness, and to go to the throne of grace. And a final thought for you is this. Prayer that is not in accordance with God's will is not prayer. It's rebellion against God. You know, a little child can talk to his dad and try to twist his dad's arm. And at some point, the dad says, you know what? I've heard enough of that. I said, that's not right. That isn't good for you. And I don't want to hear it again. That's wrong thinking. That's a wrong desire on your part. And I've made that clear to you. And so we need to seek God, His wisdom, through His Word. We need to learn how to pray. And yet there are those times, and that's where this text just shines like a golden nugget in the Scriptures. Just like the time when that mother looked at that paper and there's the words of her son, but what came through was this printed word, more strongly than the words of her own son, the word why right in her face when she had heard the news of the death of her son. She didn't know what to pray. The question why was just screaming through her heart and mind. But the Spirit did. And I believe He prayed on her behalf, according to the will of the Father. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we pray, forgive us for our weakness in this area, our laziness. We would rather watch TV or do whatever. And so we quickly slip in a little prayer and then we go on with those things that we really want to do. Forgive us, Father. Please teach us and empower us and illumine us to Your will, that we might pray fervently according to Your holy will, seeking Your honor and Your glory. It will never be perfect this side of heaven, but we are so very faithful, are grateful for the faithfulness of Jesus and of Your Spirit and of Yourself to hear their intercessory prayers. And yes, Lord, in Christ, to hear ours. In this area of our lives, please, we beseech You, conform us more fully to the image of Your Son. In His blessed and His holy name we pray. Amen.